Well, it sounds like a very, very appropriate song to start this afternoon.
Oh my God, is that perfect?
Just a perfect track, because we are asking the people. This is a PSA. We are representing the great city of Toronto. We are doing our duty as public servants. Where were you on August 4th, 5th, and 7th? We need to know, because we're trying to help.
What
That's
if
what we
you're
bring
the,
on Overdrive.
What if you're the goon if you had to sign in and he put his actual real name and number?
Yeah, that's a tough call.
You are in trouble.
Well, especially if you didn't, if you have a significant other and you didn't tell them that that's where you went. Like if you said, you know what, we just went to Earl's Patio for a beer and then I was home early. And then you find out you were on a list. And
not too many guys are open about the peel. Not too many.
No, it's generally not a part of the description of the night, right? Like, we're talking about an outbreak, a potential COVID outbreak, because there was an employee at the Brass Rail who was tested positive for COVID-19. And they were working on the 5th, the 4th, the 5th, and the 7th. And again, this is civic duty. This isn't a topic we want to talk about. And this is something we feel an obligation to get to the bottom of, right? Like, yeah. This is us representing the general public here. But, yeah, that's not generally something that comes up. When you're having a boys' night, it's usually we're going for dinner, we're going to grab a couple of beers on the patio.
Yeah,
you don't generally slide in the
rail for a nightcap and then Taco Bell across the street to finish it off. That doesn't usually come up.
No, I don't think so. Maybe Taco Bell. Maybe we'll give them a shout out.
But if you want to Google where the Taco Bell is, just have a peek across the street.
Yeah.
Anyway, the great people at the rail, they will dig in and get to the bottom of this. They're friends of the show, and they will figure it out, and they'll be back up and cooking relatively
soon. You got Al's brother down there in a turtleneck trying to sort things out.
I think he should be reporting with a camera out front.
Yeah, he's going to crack the case. I have full faith in Al's brother. He's down there. He's Woodward and Bernstein. Al's brother Bernstein, and he's going to get down there. This is the equivalent of our Watergate. I mean, we're going to try to
really
get to the
is.
Bottom of it.
I can just hear the questions. Was there any sweating or feverish behavior in the champagne room? Answer. Please answer.
Well, how much would you guys pay to see the customer tracing document? And just to see some of the names that guys put down.
Well, you
the
remember
Jackass, John Smith. Everyone's John Smith.
Everyone's John Smith. Everyone's phone number has letters in it somehow.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah,
put 555-1234. Call me on my cell.
Yeah, give me a shout. You can trace me.
Do you remember the Hollywood Madam, that Heidi Fleiss?
Oh, yeah, Heidi Fleiss, yeah.
Or whatever, Fleiss. She had that book, and people were just sweating up a storm because... If you were in the contact list,
and that was a level up. That wasn't having a beer at the bar and just
that wasn't Pervert's Row.
No,
that was some more interest.
That was a completely different level of debauchery for the gentleman.
Yeah, that wasn't even a was it Words of Orchid, Shades of Orchid, or whatever.
Oh no, that was like as far as you can go, basically.
Yeah.
And we're talking politicians. Major superstars in music, TV, movies.
I think the only guy who was like, yeah, I was there was Charlie. Didn't Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, Charlie Sheen.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like, yeah, put me down. I'm good. Winning. Hashtag winning. You can include me. I'm not worried about it.
Guys like that have no care in the world. They're like, yeah, go ahead. Put me down. I was there. Yeah. What are you going to do to me?
We're there. Don't worry about it. So that's what's going on in the city today. There's a lot of concern about that because upwards of like 550 different people may have come in contact with someone who was COVID-19 positive. And I just don't know how you describe the employee publicly either. Like if there's people that are wondering, did I come in contact? You know, what kind of description do you give? I don't know.
Well, maybe the garb she would maybe your nickname the garb
that's like, what I'm that wondering like do like you a, say
is it bubbles you know is it you know I don't know like name
dances to girls by Motley Crue was wearing a fluorescent green thong goes by the name Chastity let us know call us if you've heard anything
tough
I don't know
the city if there's a second wave because of the rail I mean,
well no kidding I mean in all seriousness that is incredibly troubling like people are freaking out like I didn't even know this was open Like, is that a stage
Dude,
three
neither
opening?
Neither did I.
I don't know what's open and what isn't. I have no idea.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, I think we've all kind of been in the same boat. We've been sticking close to home and going through the protocol. Like, we're not being heroes about it. And I'm not, you know, judging. I'm just saying I'm not aware of what's open downtown Toronto. So, Hayes, you even said it in the group text, like, I didn't even know it was open. Is there a, like, is it a, are you allowed to go into a bar or is it more of a patio situation?
I didn't think you were allowed. I honestly didn't know that you were allowed.
Had some kind of documentary on it last night. He was like, he was sitting at the bar having a drink. Somebody came in, they said you have to wear your mask at the table, and it's just, I have no idea. I've just kind of avoided that altogether. I'm getting takeout and I'm not going in there right now.
Yeah, right now. I'm the same way. Like, we're even, you know, maybe even a step further, but we just, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're just doing our thing. Like, I haven't been to a restaurant in 6 months or whatever it is. Like, the last time I went to a restaurant, I could tell you the day. It was March 11th. I went to the Yard House for a beer after I called that game in L.A. It was Ottawa, L.A. Kings. Myself and my buddy went for a beer at the Yard House, and COVID was kind of like just creeping around.
Yeah, the next day is when Rudy Gobert shut the world down.
He shut the world down that night. That was, I believe it was that night that he tested positive, and the NBA said, we're done, and we got the note.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
So that's the last time I've actually sat in a bar and had a beer was March 11th.
Yeah, I would have been probably around that time, I guess, as well. I mean, it's been a long time. It's been 5 months. It's been 5 months. And it's been, I guess, a quick 5 months. I don't know. I never know how to put time into perspective. Yeah, here we are, and we're trying to keep the numbers down, and we're trying to keep everything, you know, moving in the right direction. We're trying to get kids into school. And
you want to talk about it, Brian. Like, I know we're having some fun with this, and we hope that nothing comes out of this, but like, think of let's say 550 people that take it, and they're not all from right downtown Toronto. Like, they're, you know, this is a, you know, a business trip. Four guys go back to, you know, Thunder Bay, and then they've got two kids that go to school. Like, you could legitimately have a problem on your hands here if things go south. Like,
there's 300 guys in their basement going Nick Cage right now, just wondering what's going on.
Yeah, like, there's one guy that was there all three nights too. Let's clarify that.
Yeah, you know. Okay? Yeah, exactly.
One guy was business, like, and he tripled down.
Yeah, he's like, what dates were that? 4th, 5th, 7th. He's like, that's going to be a problem.
Let me check my day planner. I was there every day for 8-hour shifts.
Yeah. Could you imagine if they go back, and they got cameras, obviously, for security. They go back on security cameras, and that guy's been sitting there 8 hours a day in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, like, he just comes in with the same garb. And
like our guy in Buffalo with the mustache.
Like it's literally that guy. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's Phil. He's a fixture.
Yeah, that's
like,
Phil.
And call Phil. He better get tested because he was in here.
This is the best part. Phil would say, sorry, did you say the 6th too? No? Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but Phil, you were there the 4th, 5th, and 7th. What does it matter about the 6th?
It took a
night
off.
Well, I was there too. I was there on
the
6th.
He would look
at
his day planner at those dates and just start soiling himself when he realized he was there all day and all night for all 3 days.
Poor Phil.
Never ask me to stop drinking.
Yeah, that's the truth. But anyway, so the Raptors, they won this afternoon. Like, it's so just routine now.
It is
with the
really
Raptors,
routine.
Isn't it? Like, they had nobody playing. Denver at least had their starters going. I mean, for the most part, like, Jokic was playing, and
Brian, to me,
Jamal
it's
Murray
a story
was
when they, to me, sorry to interrupt. But to me, it's a story when they lose.
Yeah, like they went 7-1 in the bubble.
Like, that's what I mean. When they lose, you're like, you know, this guy didn't have a great night. Like, you expect them to be in every game and come out on top with great coaching, great system play, and it seems like everyone is engaged. So, you know, if you're going to rest players, like, it just – it's almost like let me know if they have an off game and they lose a game because you expect them – I do personally anyways – to be in
yeah,
every
to
game
just keep
and,
rolling.
And come out on top. Yeah, that's
and
my they, expectation.
They've got guys that are popping up. Like Stanley Johnson has put forth just an unbelievable run in the bubble. He didn't play a lot early, but today I'm looking at his stats. He played 29 minutes. He went 9-for-16 from the field. He had 23 points, 6 assists, 4 boards. I mean, that's a great stat line for a guy who's got no shot, no right. shot at being in the playoff rotation. Like, it's just he's not going to see minutes unless it's a blowout one way or the other. Like, maybe he's played himself into a conversation, but I just can't picture it. I mean, this is basically the Raptors saying, we're going to play our minor league team, our development team, and we're still going to win. Like, we're still going to go out there against teams who are throwing out legitimate NBA starters, and we're going to find a way to win. And that's what happened this afternoon, and that's what's been happening throughout the bubble. They went 7-1. The only team that outperformed them was Phoenix, who go 8-0, and they don't even qualify. Like, could you imagine right. that conversation on your way out of the bubble? Like, wouldn't you want to call up Adam Silver and say, let me clear something up here. You told us to come down. You said, we got to come down. We've got to gear back up. We got to get the Jets cooking again. Join the bubble. Get in there. Because you told us we'd have an opportunity to play ourselves into the playoffs. We go 8-0 and we don't qualify? Like, we don't even get into a play-in game? Yeah. Like, and I guess those were the rules. That's how it was laid out. And it's more credit to Memphis and Portland, who pulled their own weight, and they won a bunch of games too.
Right.
But could you imagine thinking, guys, this is going to be tough, but if we go 8-0, we're there. And then you go 8-0 and you don't even qualify.
Well,
and that's what happened with the Phoenix Suns.
Hell?
Like, you're like, this is a waste of time is what it
exactly.
was.
Exactly. We shouldn't even have bothered.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I would be pissed if you go on a heater and you get nothing for it.
Nothing.
Feathers.
Nothing. 8-0 in the bubble. 8-0.
And 8-0 is why you're invited.
Couldn't have played better.
Exactly.
Couldn't have played better. Yeah.
Nothing could have happened that was better, and they didn't qualify.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. To me, you have to have some form of an opportunity. If you're going to have that commitment with your family, with your own personal health, all of that, you have to have some form of an opportunity if you play lights out, and they played lights out. To me, it's ridiculous.
It almost makes you realize, like, this idea that the sports gods are watching. They're not watching. They're not paying attention. There's no karma. There's no, we're going to hook you up if you do everything right. You know, there's no guarantees. It's better to do everything right, clearly. But the Suns go 8-0, and they don't even qualify for the play-in game. And that'll be going tomorrow afternoon with Memphis against Portland. And Damian Lillard did it again last night. They just squeaked by. It's not like Portland's winning games by 20 or 30 points. Like, they're just barely winning games. But Lillard, I think, had 42 again last night. And if they beat Memphis tomorrow, that's the matchup people are waiting for, is to see Damian Lillard in particular go up against the L.A. Lakers. The Raptors schedule is out, and this is an annual event. We're all complaining about when they're playing, and I'm not surprised. I mean, you just knew this was coming. They're going to play at 4 p.m. in Game 1, and then 1:30 on a Wednesday and 1:30 on a Friday. So Games 1, 2, and 3 for the NBA champs are midweek, midday. But TNT and ESPN call the shots.
In these times, I don't think Raps fans here, they're like, a lot of people are going to be like, I'll catch the game. I know things are a little bit rounding into form as far as normal, but a lot of people are home doing work at home. They're like, yeah, I'll tune that on.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting jammed up right now. They're not in prime time. I think people are just that's for next year when things get back to normal.
Well, but that's going to be the case next year. Like, we just know that, right? Like, that's the way it works. If they're coming off an NBA championship where they just won 7-1 in the bubble, and they're playing a team from New York, albeit not the Knicks, but it's not like they're playing some small market that no one cares about. And I'm not saying they needed all three games in primetime. There's only two gyms. You're not going to get that. The Lakers are going to get that first. The bigger teams with the bigger names are likely going to get it. I understand it. But maybe you could have snuck in one 6:30 game. Maybe a 6:30 game.
Yeah,
one of the
I
first
agree.
Three. I think that would have been reasonable for the NBA champs. But Raptors fans are used to it. We're not going to spend all weekend complaining about it. We'll watch the games, and I think it's also potentially a scenario where the NBA and the media partners think that the Raptors are going to run through Brooklyn pretty quickly, and it's not a series that a lot of people will be invested in outside of the two markets because everyone expects the Raptors to roll. So that, in a way, I guess, could be considered a compliment. So we're off and running here. Ray Ferraro will join us. Ray is back today. He's coming up just after 5. Carlos Boozer into the 6 p.m. hour on the NBA bubble and what he saw to the Raptors, the play-in game tomorrow between Memphis and Portland for that 8th seed in the West. And Tuukka Rask with some interesting comments last night. We'll play that. We'll get into it. just a crazy story out of the U.S. Open, the amateur U.S. Open. I can't remember ever seeing anything like this. We'll tell you about that later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so there's a couple of hockey games, a couple of basketball games ongoing. That's just the way it works in August of 2020. There's always stuff happening. There's a big soccer game going on right now, too. Alphonso Davies and Bayern Munich. I think he might have just scored to make it 5-1, Bayern nice. Over Barcelona.
Brilliant.
It is brilliant. And it was not a half chance. It was a full chance. And he just smacked one home. Top bins. I love it. He is a stud. He is a stud. He's 19 or 20 years old. Yeah, the hockey guy. That's the best thing. There's guys tweeting at us saying, you got to be breaking down the live game that we don't have access to as if we're going to give some play-by-play on a soccer game right now.
Yeah, no. It's not happening.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. But we'll shout out to Alphonso Davies.
Yeah. Habs up 3-0.
I know.
Yeah, that's
Tatar, I think, has two. So I like some of those guys who have been pretty quiet for Montreal seem to be going today, which is good for them. It's nice to – they'll make a series of this, which is good.
Yeah, know? The more the merrier. I'll admit I'm having a tough time keeping track of everything. Because,
oh, yeah?
Well, there's too many games going on. There's too much stuff going on in terms of, like, what's happening in one series over the other, when teams are playing.
Yeah,
like
the Calgary – well, now you're seeing
back-to-back,
Calgary's
got a back-to-back,
back,
right? Yeah, they're playing tonight. So.
Yeah, well, and they pissed one away last night. They tie the game up, and then they give up a coverage goal in the last, what, 40 seconds? Like, that's a tough loss. You know, right when you'd battle back, and I don't know if Kachuk, I haven't seen if Kachuk's in or
sounds
not.
Sounds like he's a game-time decision. That's what Jeff Ward was
tough.
Saying. Yeah,
that'll
oh, yeah, you miss him. That's a massive hit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that series is tied at one, and big game three tonight on a back-to-back. If Kachuk's out, that's going to be a big hit, clearly, for Calgary. But of the three Canadian teams, Montreal, Vancouver, and Calgary, I'm having a tough time deciding which one I think has the best chance of going on a cup run.
Well, I think Van looks good. It just, you know, is St. Louis ever going to wake up here? Not say ever, but they've had a tough round robin and then didn't play very well in game one. So, you know, are they going to flip the switch and give Vancouver all they can handle? You know, I think Calgary has got their hands full, but I think they're in decent shape there. And then the Habs is... I mean, none of us thought that the Habs were even going to be in this position.
No,
so they're playing with
exactly.
house money against a very good team.
Yeah, you tie that up 1-1. You're feeling very good about yourself.
For sure.
And maybe there's an element of inspiration with what's going on with Claude Julien.
Yeah,
he's been
I
sent
know.
Back to Montreal after going to the hospital and having a stent put in. And we wish him all the best. But it sounds like he's going to be okay in a full recovery, but he's not going to be rejoining the team. So you've got Kirk Muller behind the bench. And he's got a long history with the team, too, as we know, as a player and as a coach and assistant coach. And I would lean towards Vancouver, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't have a ton of faith in any of the teams winning a Stanley Cup, but maybe I need to change my mentality based on what we're seeing in the bubble, you know, how upside down everything seems to be. I think what Tuukka Rask said last night was just 100% candid and honest. It's got to be weird.
Like, they want honesty, and this guy comes out. The one thing I will say, Brian, if you're his teammates, that team is not a bunch of youngsters just kind of navigating their way through NHL life. They're one of the best teams in the league. But if I'm his teammate, I'm thinking, okay, the media loves your candor and they love your honesty, but is your head up your ass right now? Because we're trying to get dialed in here and we're trying to win this series. And you might think that, but they must be – his teammates and his coaches must be thinking, where are you at there, guy?
Because all right, let's play the clip here, and then we'll come back and discuss it. This is what Tuukka Rask had to say last night.
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there. There's no fans, so it's kind of like playing an exhibition game. Obviously, you know, there's some scrums after whistles, and I haven't noticed anything that they would be targeting me or whatnot. You know, things happen. People fall on you and whatnot, but, you know, it's definitely not a playoff atmosphere out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty strong, honest
take
on what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I respect it. I just think, I mean, Boston, Carolina deserves a lot of credit. They played well, and they played hard. And, you know, it's funny that Tuukka said that because if you've watched the games, like, there has been some irritability. Like, that Svechnikov is not shy
He is awesome.
McAvoy was really getting in it last night.
Well, him and McAvoy were going at it. Like, McAvoy had kind of – I thought it was a bit of a greasy forearm that he gave Svechnikov before the hit from behind. I don't know if you saw
that. You wait how many people are taking his number for when Big Z retires. You just wait. Charlie McAvoy, I love him as a player, but half of his courage will disappear, if not 99% of it.
No, someone's just going to beat his face in immediately saying, you're not so tough when he's not around.
It's the easiest thing in the world to be a tough guy with Zdeno Chara right next to you every shift.
Imagine the spears the three of us would be being his D part. We'd be spearing guys every shift.
Of course. It's the epitome of a guy grows a foot taller and 40 pounds tougher. Like, it's – because look at last night. Was it Svechnikov, I think, that went after him? And who jumps right in? Big Z's right in there grabbing him and talking to him.
Grabbed him by the face and talked him. Like I said, basically, I guarantee you, he said, if you want me to cave your face in, I'll do it. If not, smarten up out here. And you're right. Like, it's legitimately the equivalent of you're going to the bar with a guy who fights in the UFC.
Fights in
the UFC. Nobody's going to touch you.
No.
You're going to the bar with the toughest guy.
Like, John Jones is right beside you.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, yeah, you want to mess around? Okay.
Yeah. It's, you know who had that and is a great guy, but Richard Mafechuk, you remember how, like, mean he played? Well, Darian Hatcher stood right beside him, and the two of them used to just chop wood. And then when Hatch went on to, from Dallas, I think he went to Detroit. Boy, there was a lineup for Mafechuk from guys from 3 years previous.
And that's what's
going to
happen. Like, I don't think McAvoy is dirty necessarily. I think he plays on the line and he goes after you. And he kind of gets in your face as if, like, hey, I could take you down. And it's like, dude, you can't take me down, but I can't push you back because this mutant's coming over here next. So
he's
I don't blame him for feeling like, you know, the world is his oyster or whatever the hell they say. Because he's just out there plugging along, playing safe, playing fun, you know, being a little greasy. And he's a really good player, like a really, really quality player. But having Chara on your deep pairing every single shift is just the ultimate shield. And the second he retires, there are going to be guys on that team that are going to be taken care of. Like, it's just going to happen. Guys, all of a sudden, the Big Bad Bruins, if they're not the Big Bad Bruins without Big Z, there's going to be some teams that are looking forward to kind of imposing their own will that they haven't been able to do for a long time.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
That's the beauty of having a guy like Zdeno Chara. That's why even at 42, he's as valuable as he is. Still, no one's messing with him, ever.
There's another guy, Chara, that probably wouldn't be a fan of the comments. I mean, he, like I said, the media loves it, and I love it too, because we always bitch. They don't say anything, get pucks in deep, garbage comments.
Right, right.
This guy actually says something that's truthful and what he really feels. But if you're his teammate, you got to be thinking, where is my number one goalie's headspace at?
Well, you're right.
It's the same for everybody, but you got to grind through it, and you got to kind of create your own excitement. You are playing for a Stanley Cup. The environment, the mood might be garbage, but I don't know. If I'm his teammates, I'm not happy about it. I'd just be like, where are you at? Because if he starts, what he's done, he's put himself under the spotlight. So if he sucks the next two games, people are going to say, this guy's head's up his ass.
You're right.
And he's pouting. He's not unhappy with the environment, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you're right. Because what he's done is drawn attention to him that if he's no good, they're a bit like, this guy's head's not into it. And that's why, you know, it's like anything. If Tuukka Rask goes on and they win this series and he plays, like, I thought he was really good in game one. I thought he was just okay in game two, made some good saves, but if he doesn't have a great series and they lose, what's the narrative? Well, this guy said he's not into it. But if he wins, it doesn't matter. If you back it up. But it's like anything. Like, all I could think about, you know, when some of these teams have lost and had the big talk, it's like, you know, and this isn't a shot, but how many times did Marner's fedora trend on Twitter, you know, when they lost? People are like, well, they dress well, you know, but can't walk the walk. Nobody would care about it if they're in the playoffs right now. But, like, now it's like, oh, they worry about dressing good. They worry about this. They worry about that instead of, like, the actual thing of hockey. This Tuukka Rask comment is exactly what you're saying.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure because this is just him, I think, admitting that the sky is blue. Like, there's no fans in there. Like, do we actually think it's a playoff atmosphere?
No.
Why do we actually,
like, boards and the noise? It's
there's
not.
Nothing in there.
But
it's not the playoffs. Like, I know they're telling you that it is, but there's no one in there. Like, this is, I don't think it's the same as, you know, well, we didn't, you know, someone called their hotel room last night at 3 a.m. Like, this isn't, I didn't hear an excuse. I heard a reality. I heard the same thing that James Reimer is facing, or Mrazek, or Svechnikov, or Aho, or Williams. Like, there's no one there. It's weird.
Right.
Like, you're sitting in a building that should have 20,000 hooligans. You shouldn't be in the building. The home team's not there. You should be in Boston.
You
should be in Carolina. You know, I didn't hear it as an excuse. I just heard what we know to be true. He was the first one to say it, because I think everyone else is like, I don't know if the NHL would want us to say this. Because I don't think it puts a target on Rask. I think what it does is put more of a target on the asterisk talk. That's what it does. And I know a lot of people roll their eyes at that. They don't want to hear it. But what it does is it proves what a lot of people have been saying for quite some time, that this just is not the real thing. Like, it's just not. It's a stopover. It's a gap. It's one that we all appreciate that they're playing. I'd much prefer they're playing than not. But let's not pretend that it's something that it isn't.
Well,
like, it's not. The Coliseum isn't full. Like,
but let me ask you this then. Is the quality of hockey playoff hockey?
Because I think it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good.
I think if I'm Chris Wagner, who got run from behind, like, I'm sitting there going, really, Tuukka? Because it feels like, you know, I'm in playoff hockey here. I'm in scrums after the whistle. I'm, you know, that's been a little bit irritable. There's been a couple organizations and fights and stuff like that. It's certainly different. I think Tuukka was being 100% honest for himself. He's looking in the stands going, I'm usually used to 20,000 people screaming at me. I'm used to, if we're playing the Leafs, I'm used to, you know, player X, Zach Hyman running me over and you know,
it
battles.
Might be the nature of the position too, right? Like, the
goaltender
is so separate from everyone else. How he couldn't possibly tell you what it's actually like on the bench with or without fans. He's not on the bench, and he never will be on the bench.
Exactly.
And what it's like in a scrum, what it's like, you know, trying to win battles at the opposite end of the rink. So I do think him being a goaltender in this particular case does make it a different viewpoint, quite literally, because of the position that he plays. And it might be more meaningful if this was Bergeron saying it, or Char, or any player who's saying, you know, we're on the bench and I'm sure it's an empty feeling. Like, I'm sure it's an eerie feeling. Once you get going and you're on the ice and you're in the midst of play, you're playing. Right, like, you're battling, you're working hard, and I think the games have been pretty good. I think the entertainment value has been pretty good.
Absolutely. Must have been empty for Tuukka in the net when Hamilton sizzled it right over his face, because he looked like he was just, I don't know what he was doing.
That was a bomb.
And he was like, just, who knows where his headspace was at, man, but there's definitely interesting comments. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I still think Boston can win that series.
Of course they can. It's 1-1. Absolutely,
yeah.
And I don't think these comments are going to make any difference.
Well, we'll see where Pasta's at. Like, I don't know if he got hurt.
Yeah. Looked like he got hurt on a celebration almost to the OT winner.
Yeah, he jumped up or whatever, but it looked like something bit on him, which is not good if that's like a hip flexor or a groin or something like that, because, you know, that guy needs that to skate, and he flies out there, so... You know, Boston's—they've got their work cut out. Like, that Carolina team is gritty. They're like the coach; like, he is all business. I love that Rod Brindamore.
Great. I didn't think it was necessary for Tom Dunnan's check to be
the
posted online.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, we get it. Okay, you paid it. Like, and
I didn't think
he was.
I did not think he was going to pay that.
Well, he made sure that everyone knew that he did, which to me makes it almost feel even cheaper. Like. Do you think Larry Tannenbaum would have the Leafs post a pic of him signing a check?
Not a chance.
You know, no, of course not. Like, it was almost more minor league. Like, hey, go and post this on social media so everyone knows that I paid for it.
What he needs to worry about is paying Rod Brindamore in about a year or so. He's one of the lowest paid coaches in the league by a lot. By a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's payday, he better get off his ass and pay him. Because if I'm Rob Brindamore, I'm looking around, I'm saying, who's the $2 and $3 million coaches? Pay me.
Yeah. Well, listen, he's got the results to back it up. He went to a conference final a year ago. He's into the playoffs this year. And he's in tough against Boston. But if they win and they keep rolling, that's not going to shock people.
No.
You're right. At
Absolutely.
Some point, Like his saying, tickets going
to
come up.
Yeah, this has been fun. I don't really need to be doing this. I've got $50 million in the bank. If you're going to pay me three, like where I'm slotted accordingly, then go ahead, pay me. I'll do it. But if you don't, see you later.
Yeah, no flat employment. For sure he will. Yeah. Well, there's a couple of coaching vacancies here in Toronto now that we were, I think, aware of. Paul McFarland's moving on. He's been an assistant coach this year. And another assistant coach was I guess, let go today. Brewer, yeah. And I think it was Lance Hornby who tweeted out that there's some rumors out there that Bruce Boudreau would be willing to obviously take a pay cut because he's been getting paid well as a head coach for a long time.
Hello.
To take over as an assistant here on Sheldon Keefe's staff. And I find that hard to believe because I think someone will come knocking for Bruce because his winning percentage is off the charts.
Where did you hear that?
Lance Hornby tweeted that out.
Oh,
this wasn't some egg avatar on Twitter. This was like it sounded like a legitimate, hey, there's some rumblings that Bruce might be willing to look into it just because he loves the Leafs so much and he wants to work here and live here. And I would love it. If you bring Brucey in, that would be a home run. I can't picture it. I can't picture him being an assistant coach.
I don't know if that's the – I could see him being an associate coach. So you can pay him more.
Sure.
And he could be almost
a mentor for Keith, in a way.
To Sheldon, yeah. But, you know, that's a tough scenario, too, because I would think that Sheldon is going to shape the coaching staff to exactly who he wants. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that Brewer guy was Babcock's
That was Babs' video guy, from Team Canada and stuff like that. And he had shaped Andrew into, like, a pretty good hockey guy. He's got, a good knowledge but I believe he was kind of a Babcock project, my understanding. I don't want to misspeak on that, but I think he's got a Hockey Canada background and then ended up, graduating to the National Hockey League. But like, if you take a look at it, Babcock did that with Todd McLellan. Like he did that. He's had younger coaches around him that has helped him grow. It'd be interesting to see what Sheldon Keefe does if Kyle says, okay, the coaching staff is all yours to choose.
I don't know how that generally works. Like my understanding is you always get one.
You get one
for sure.
Guy. Yeah.
Are you going to get two? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Bruce Boudreau, and I don't know if Sheldon Keefe would feel comfortable with Boudreau on his staff either. Like I hope he would feel enough confidence in himself that if he feels like Boudreau could help, bring him in. And the Leafs would pay Boudreau, and my only request would be let him speak. Right. Don't muzzle him like every other assistant or associate coach or, the numbers 2 and 3 in command in the front office. If Boudreau's here, we can't get him on this show. I don't want him here in Toronto.
The thing with head coaches.
He's got to be able to speak.
The thing with head coaches, Bri, you would think there's enough respect from the head coach to say, you know what, the assistants, go ahead and say whatever you want. Like, just speak to the media. But they seem to always go a little bit further and say a little bit more than what the head coach wants. They can't stop themselves, and that's why they don't usually let them talk.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's either commenting on a guy's play that should be kept in-house or system stuff or what they want to do against the opponent. It's – I don't know. I would love to see it. And I don't necessarily – like, I think of that our market. Mike Babcock, I didn't particularly like his pressers to begin with, or Torts or any of these guys. Like 3 times a day, every day, like game days, it's like morning skate, before the game, after the game. I'm like, I don't need to hear this guy that much. And by the way, he's not even saying anything.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Let somebody else do it. But the head coach doesn't want a different message being sent out.
Yeah. You know what? When I coached with Brent Sutter, like you would have to do certain media's like availability, like after morning skate. And there were times where it was like, it wasn't even, Brent was like, I just want an assistant coach to do it. You guys rotate through. So like every 3 games, I was going out in the morning and just doing this like one-on-one, like with whatever, local media or whatever. I just remember the guy would just screw my name up all that. I would just get so, I'd be staring at it.
Jared McElwain?
Younger guy here. We're here with Jamie McLennan. I'm like, McLennan. Oh, okay, sorry. You're here with Jeremy McClellan. I'm like, it's Jamie McLennan. Would you like, and I'd be staring at our PR guy going, are you going to like smarten this guy up or what? Like, it was 10 takes every time.
Jeremy McClendon.
Oh, yeah. Jamie McClendon. McClellan, you
just
name it.
Just chopping it up. Well, just. I can say this as a young broadcaster, man. Someone's name, if you have to do a face-to-face with someone and their name, and your name is not a tough name. It's not.
No.
But if you get a tough name and it's a face-to-face, it keeps you up at night. Like,
dude,
I have been in those situations.
I've had a simple name that I couldn't. The guy's name, and I don't even know if this is his actual name. Jamie, what was his name? He played in Montreal a couple of years ago. He was a fourth-line right-handed centerman. Torrey Mitchell?
Yeah, Torrey Mitchell, right?
I could not say Torrey. I don't know. I could not say. I would say Corey. For whatever reason, I had something in my head when that name came up. And I would butcher it every time.
Come
I could
on.
Not say that guy's name. Not mispronounce it, just to come up with something different.
That's
I couldn't say
so
Torrey
funny.
Mitchell. It was in my grill.
I like, obviously, calling games, I get a little bit rattled, but I'll go through it. I would go through it with Gord or Chris before a game. Like, and if you're, you know, say you're going into Columbus, you're like, okay, is it Wenberg? How do they, you know, you'll go over to the opposing team's, you know, color people and be like, okay, what's the pronunciation there? What does the guy want to do? And for me, like, Gord was great because he'd be like Athanasiou, Anthony Athanasiou. So he would say, nice to see you, Athanasiou. You know, do it that way. So I would write down, nice to see you, above this guy's name. Because just, so you wouldn't butcher it. But
if you screw always, it up, you just
you
do the old school
the
college try. Like number five, wrist shot on net. Who cares? Wrister by number five.
Can't do that. But I just, the worst part or the most embarrassing part for me is like, you know, Brady, we're calling Brady Tkachuk and I call him Matthew.
Yeah, you mess up. Yeah, exactly. You call him Keith.
Yeah, Keith
you're like,
Tkachuk.
That's tough. What am I doing
here?
It is
tough, and people know, but it's still, you get all the heroes on Twitter. No, you got it wrong. Okay,
yeah.
I got it. Thanks.
Oh, yeah,
you know, like
all the time.
The language
perfect
police.
Name pronunciation guy on Twitter yeah. is the one of the worst Twitter guys. It's just, I had that recently happen. I can't remember which name I chewed it up. I knew I did, but it's not the end of the world. You move on, and some guy immediately, is it that tough? Yeah, it is. For me, when I'm on the run here and we're trying to do 15 hours a week, sorry, I chopped up a name I wasn't expecting to say on the fly. Give me a break here, please?
You know who I butcher constantly is Alex Pietrangelo.
Yeah.
Is it Peter Petro?
I'm convinced no one knows what his name actually is.
You can never go wrong with just saying Alex Pietrangelo. Like, just
Petra.
Go with that.
No, Petra or Petro. Like, that's the thing. And I
Pietrangelo.
I think we've said it two different ways.
Yeah, we've said it three different ways already. That's my point.
No, I didn't. I just said if you can't go wrong with Pietrangelo. Like, no
Petra?
One's going to say, oh, you butchered.
No, I think I have. I think I've done that. And someone said, it's not two A's, idiot. Wrong pronunciation. I'm blocking you. It's like, I don't follow you. Why would you block me? You have four followers. But that's the kind of stuff
you get.
You're
living in your parents' basement with a pizza-stained shirt on, like a slob.
And I know where you were on August 4th, 5th, and 7th as well. I know what's up with you, and I know where you've been.
There are guys gooning booze in their basement right now, sweating.
Sweating it out. And how do you – like, I haven't gone for a COVID test, luckily. I haven't been in a position where I felt like I've had to. But I don't – do you have to tell them why you think you need one? Like, do they ask that kind of question?
They do. I mean –
they don't want to know your whereabouts, do they? You just say, look, I might have been in contact with a PO.
With who?
No,
it cost me $140. It was
exactly
four songs, and I think I need a COVID test.
It's contact tracing.
If you had to backtrack. Actually, I stuck around for an extra two songs, and then there was Stairway to Heaven.
I went to the ATM machine, took out another 200, wearing gloves, didn't have, you know, wearing gloves, who knows?
Yeah. Belt came off, whole nine.
It's, I don't know how you describe that one.
No, I
think you just say,
their pants.
Yeah, I don't need to explain it, I just need a COVID test, all right? I'll pay you so that I don't have to tell you why.
You, Marcellus Wiley, the COVID person, here's a fat stack, you don't know my name, anything, and just stick that thing up my nose and tell me yes or no.
And here's a burner phone, you just call me with positive or negative, and that's it. And then that thing blows up like the Mission Impossible phone.
Yeah.
All right, Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Carlos Boozer into the 6 p.m. hour. James Duthie will join us as well. JD coming up later this afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in about 15 minutes. It sounds like, and it looks like, I've seen some clips, is Alphonso Davies is putting on an absolute clinic in the Champions League quarterfinal. Bayern's up 5-2 on Barca, but he just set up a goal. It's one of the prettiest plays you're ever going to see. Kid's 19. He's from Edmonton. He's a Jamie Noodles McLennan fan. Mm-hmm. Or oh, yeah. Jeremy McClelland fan.
Exactly.
He loves Jeremy McClelland.
Yeah.
And he is just a rock star.
We got to get into it with Ray about this goon caddy in the USM.
Can you believe that story, man? I can't believe I just saw that. Like, that was Sam Rosen-esque. So,
dude,
explain it. You got to explain it to the audience.
This goon of a caddy, and I understand he did not touch the golf ball. He didn't affect the lie of the golf ball, anything. He crawls in the bunker like a four-year-old and starts grabbing the sand and testing the texture of it. I understand that might have not affect, but what were you thinking? Some people say, oh, he shouldn't have been. That's ridiculous. You can't go in there with your little shovel like a kid in a little basket and start wheeling around the sand. That's
no,
idiotic.
Yeah, it's clearly this guy either has never been a caddy before.
Like, if he wanted to jump in and get a yardage and kind of move his feet, I don't even know if you can do that. Like, kind of.
No,
you know
I'm not
what
sure
I'm
you can.
About? Yeah, stay out of the bunker. That was ridiculous, and you cost the kid the match.
Yeah, it was on the 18th hole of the U.S. Amateur, which is
God
match play, as we
mighty.
Know. Came down to the final hole. They're on 18. This guy, I think he drove into the bunker. It was a par four, I believe. And the caddy gets into the bunker and starts playing with the sand to test the texture of the sand.
What? Are you high?
It's crazy because the opponent's caddy saw it and just beelined for the official. Like the marshal basically was like, okay, match over.
Yeah,
like, did you just
yeah.
see this cat? He's in there doing snow angels in the bunker.
And this is like it's basically a major, man. You win the USAM, you're going to the Masters, you're in the U.S., you're in all the big tournaments.
Big time.
And this guy is building sandcastles while his guy's getting a number.
Right. Well, and it is, to be fair, it's a classic. It's a classic impossible to explain to a non-golfer.
Dude.
Ooh, it is, though. Oh, like,
if
you and
brought,
I understand
if you
it.
Brought Davey, who, or Davey probably plays golf, but if you brought one of your buddies, you would still look at him and say, are you high? Are you high doing that?
You would, but the point I'm making is if you don't play golf, like Noodles, an example, he would
right,
look at,
exactly.
What does it matter if the guy touched the sand? He didn't get to hit the ball.
Yeah, like actually, I was thinking
yeah, but
that.
I would
what
say to Noodles,
what
do
around?
You care what the sand feels like, you jackass? You're not hitting the shot.
But the reason he was feeling it was obviously to get a read on the texture of the sand, as we know. I mean, that goes without saying.
No, dude, the golfer gets the read on the sand. He puts his feet in it. He knows if it's firm, if there's not a lot of sand in it. The guy doesn't need.
He's
I
just
would say
being
to
yeah.
Noodles. I would wrap my four iron around Noodle's neck and say, you just cost me the USA.
I can't even imagine. Like, could you imagine that guy had the stones after the match to be like, all right, so where's the tip? Like, what are you paying me? I just carried your bag around for 18 holes. Sure, I got you disqualified for the biggest tournament
Ray Donovan,
of your life.
I'd stuff him in a bag and throw him in the ocean.
Yeah, there's no way you could pay that guy.
I've never even heard of a player wanting to do that. Like, and you're playing, he's probably played there five practice rounds. So, he's been there all week, and all of a sudden he needs to test the texture of the sand. What was he going to say to the player? It's a little bit fluffier than what? Than what?
Yeah,
is there
going to
be a top 10 list of caddies that have gotten their players disqualified? Like, how many caddies have done that in the history of,
none.
In the last 20 years?
None.
None disqualified. Like now that was he wouldn't have been disqualified if that was the first hole. He would have just lost that hole, I believe. It was because it came down to the 18th hole in a match play where they were even, and whoever wins the hole wins the match. So he cost them that hole, and as a result, he cost them the match. This wouldn't get you disqualified in your standard tournament. It would have cost you strokes. But there have been, we know stories of caddies who have had too many clubs in a bag, and they got caught. You know,
yeah,
like,
Ian Woosnam. Right. Like, his caddy brought too many golf clubs on the second tee, and Woosnam wanted to strangle him.
He wanted to kill him because it was a two-stroke penalty, I think, right?
Yeah, and then he threw his three-wood out, and he's just like, you're, and the guy was probably hungover, had no idea how many clubs were in the bag. But this is just redonk. Like,
yeah,
to get
it's
in
crazy.
There and play with the sand, I don't know.
I've never seen anything like it. Like, I really, I've
because
not
I'll
had a major tournament like that.
I don't. What round of this was of the AM? This has got to be pretty close.
It was round of 16, I think. Yeah, round of 16.
So Sunday, this probably wraps up.
Yep.
Never before would the player have said in this tournament. Yeah, like what was the texture of the sand? So we decided to do it on the 18th hole.
I know, it's
in a
crazy
match.
It's almost like he had money on the line and he threw the match.
Like, wanted to jam him up.
Yeah, it's a complete jam job, and maybe this guy had cash on the opponent. I don't know, but it is classic. Just a brutal story for a young amateur player too to get kicked out of the tournament, like lose the tournament because of
that's
that.
Tough,
infuriating. All right, race coming up in about 10 minutes. We get Carlos Boozer later in the afternoon. The Raptors with another win today, 7-1 to wrap up the regular season down in the bubble. They've got Brooklyn on Monday in Game 1. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.